Alrighty, how's it going? Look at this guy.
That was pretty fucking metal.
Metal. Metal. This is the Crespo Disco number. Yeah, you should have written it down.
Number, should have written it down.
Number 16, I believe. That's XVI to your Romans. Shout out to the Romans. Because when in Rome, you do as the Romans. Right?
Right.
And when in hell, you do shots at the bar.
Correct.
I am your host, Chris Crespo, hanging out with Juicy Cogburn. Look at that, Drew. All for you, buddy.
Thanks, dude.
All those cheers, man. People. The people love you. You can't deny it. They love you.
I don't know about that.
Neither do I. But yeah, we're doing... last time, we're like... We're running out of Crespo Disco ideas. What do? So last time we did hip-hop. We started doing the genres, right?
The genres.
So we did hip-hop first. That was the last one. That was last month's Crespo Disco. Go ahead and check that out. We're doing metal songs, but not really top five.
Well, I mean, mine aren't even in that category. Yeah, we necessarily
both,
good.
We both kind of took different approaches to how we picked our five songs. So we're going to see what we came up with. This is definitely one we're going to have to revisit down the road. Like, I don't even know how to... Yeah, this is going to be a weird one.
Well, I mean, my whole problem was there was too much good metal.
Too much good metal.
So...
And only five? Whose bright idea was that?
Yours.
What was that? I'm sorry.
So, I decided to choose a different path.
Okay, so... Yeah, and then me, I was like...
I didn't even know where to start.
Yeah, but like, yeah... 2 hours ago, my list was at like 20 songs.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't even know. I just started making arbitrary choices. Painful arbitrary choices. So I came down with a list of five metal songs that I like for various reasons with no cohesion amongst them whatsoever. That's the way I went with it.
All right.
But how about you?
I decided to start where I started with metal. I mean, I started with Metallica, but then after that, you know, I kind of went my own way and listened to some pretty awful stuff. And then...
Or stuff that was popular at the time.
It was popular at the time. Yeah. In retrospect, not that good.
Some things don't hold up as well as others.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
That's for sure. All
right. And then one Dragon Force song, because Dragon Force.
Spoiler alert! So you want to start with that one or end with it?
We're going to end with it.
All right, we'll save it. So let's go ahead and... do you have an order?
I'll just play a song. I know them all. Yeah. If you don't know this song, then you're either really young
or you're living under a rock in the mid-90s.
Yeah, pretty much, because this song was everywhere. It was all over MTV. That was back when MTV played music.
Hella music.
Yeah.
A lot of music.
A lot of it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Especially after, like, midnight?
Oh, yeah.
Wall-to-wall music videos.
And then... Late night is when you got to see the metal.
The metal. Yeah. Your 120 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Headbanger's Ball.
Yep.
Et set.
Exactly.
Right.
This is Korn, Adidas, All Day I Dream About Sex. It's Korn. I was kind of into Korn back in the day.
I like the first two Korn albums. I haven't really listened to them lately.
I just did for this.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Wasn't holding up for you?
I lost them after the third album.
Yeah, I didn't like that third album at all.
Well, I was...
And it was their most popular one.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't... I don't know. I liked it enough, I guess. I had other reasons for buying the album, because it was...
the artwork?
Yeah.
Cool artwork.
It was... what is it? Jeff Loeb, I think? Creator of Spawn?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
Spawn, isn't that... what's his name?
Todd McFarlane?
Yeah.
I think it was McFarlane. Todd McFarlane who did the cover art.
Nice.
And now he's running Image Comics.
He's just running that bitch.
He started off, I'm just going to draw Spawn. And now...
And now it's like, it's the only thing I've made, the only thing you guys produce that's popular.
Yep.
So now I run this bitch.
Hell yeah.
And now bands like Korn pay me to put my art on their very popular, that's Follow the Leader.
Yes.
Very popular album.
Uh-huh. Had the picture of the little girl doing the... What the fuck is that called?
Hopscotch
all the way off the edge of a cliff, hopefully.
And then it was the one where he was going like... He was doing a lot of that like... Bah, 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 bah,
pop, yeah, stuff his, like his, that. His weird scatting. Yeah. His weird... Jonathan Davis is a weird guy.
He went off the deep end on that one. Zamani and the Fame.
They're all a bunch of weird guys.
They are all a bunch of weird guys. One of them left the band because he found Jesus.
Uh-huh.
I think he came back there.
He did.
I don't know if he brought Jesus with him.
Maybe he did.
I hope he did. I hope he did. But he's so fine with playing songs like this one.
Yeah, I'm sure.
At Lollapalooza.
Yes. Oh, man.
Well, that was pretty much the whole song there.
Yeah, okay. Pretty much. So that was Korn, Adidas, off, that was Life is Peachy?
Right? Yes, Life is Peachy. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Is it, though?
Not so much.
Not so much. I'm going to go same time period. This is the oldest song I have here in the top five.
Okay.
In a similar way, I was going back, like you said, I was listening to some of the music. Because I wanted to do a mix of stuff that I listened to when I first started listening to metal and then more recent stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I also decided real quick, you know, quick tangent. There's plenty of obvious stuff that I can play in the future that I've already done in the past. I could have put Poison the Well on my list.
Mm-hmm.
Between
the Buried and Me, Mastodon.
Mastodon is one that I definitely was like, eh, that got like, that was like
Black
number
Dahlia
six.
Black Dahlia Murder, ABR, I mean, come on.
Yes, August Burns Red's another one that was on the list at the very end. There's like, gotta cut it. But one made the list, and then I had to listen to some older stuff, right? I was listening to some Machine Head.
Oh, man.
And there's one song off one album, and then two songs off the second album. I'm like, okay, these still kind of hold up, and then the rest is like,
the only time I ever saw Machine Head, they were in between Gojira and Lamb of God.
Yeah, and they weren't even that good. They played a bunch of songs off their other albums.
In between Gojira and Lamb of God. And
yeah.
I'm not going to lie, Lamb of God put on a damn good show. But nothing could have prepared me for that Gojira set.
Yeah, Gojira was crazy.
That was one of the most metal things I've ever seen in my life.
That was at the Janus Landing in St. Pete. That was pretty awesome. Yeah, exactly. It's Machine Head. Like, yeah, that was...
Yeah.
But... One band did hold up, at least the two albums that I liked from the 90s, held up pretty well.
And who's that?
That would be Fear Factory.
Really?
Yes.
You were into Fear Factory in the 90s?
I was in the Fear Factory in the 90s.
My buddy Brian was into Fear Factory in the 90s.
There's The Manufacture, which is like 94, 95, mm-hmm. something like that. By that time I had a friend that was into it. He turned me on to it because he was really into industrial,
mm-hmm.
closer to industrial stuff.
Yeah.
And that was on that line between industrial and metal, right? And then I, at that point, I didn't know what death metal was or speed metal. All these things were new to me. So yeah. When the double bass kicks in, the crazy, and he's super fast, I was like,
this is awesome.
Just blow my mind, man. What I appreciate about these first two albums now, D Manufacture, and then the next album, Obsolete, which I think is their best album. They tell a story, and it's pretty much Terminator. It's the machines have taken over.
Okay.
And the second one is about a dude named the Edge Crusher.
So they're concept albums?
Yes. And the second one even more so. Like the album artwork included drawings and some like snippets of scenes and stuff that he could read to help explain the story. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And I listened to it and I was like, you know what? Most of this holds up. So pretty good.
Interesting.
The third song off that Obsolete album, it's called Smasher Devourer. Smasher/Devourer.
Okay.
And that's one of the, it's like the thing they send out that the Securitron police forces, one of their enforcers, what they use to send out to crush people. It's like the Hunter Killers and Terminator. So, what was that? Yeah, it's just metal. That's all it is.
It's just a little bit of metal.
It's very straightforward metal, which is why it still sounds good, because they weren't trying to be too
weird
in of the time.
Yeah.
Trendy. I think there's one song. Another song has like some scratch work in there, unfortunately. I think that was a...
You have a new message.
Oh, that was a... Shout out to Matt Celery on Twitter. I'll check it out. But yeah, the concept album, Obsolete, pretty damn good. Also, spoiler alert, Edge Crusher dies at the end.
No.
So there's no hope. No hope for humanity.
No.
Inspired by Jesus, a Jesus statue at one point. In a burned out church. Yeah. Weird.
Strange. Very strange.
They were a strange, crazy band. But I think a fun band. I like all their song titles are fun. You know, because it's all like Smasher to Power or shit like that. It's all like, whoa, you guys are extra metal. It's like when Mastodon puts out an album called Blood.
Yes.
It's like
a mountain of blood. All right, I love it.
I know what you guys are doing there. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, absolutely. Damn good album from 1998.
No.
Damn good. I see. So.
Fear Factory.
Fear Factory. Give it a listen, guys.
Man, yeah.
But only those, the manufacturer and obsolete, because then after that, it's like. It's so hard to sustain.
It is.
It's so hard. All right, so then I guess I'll pick one for you here, right? Mm-hmm. That's the plan. Let's see. What's
All right. This is a little band called Seven Dust. These guys were once again big in the 90s.
Very big in the 90s.
I
feel like it was a battle between them and Stuck Mojo.
Oh, wow. I totally forgot about those guys.
Stuck Mojo, they're the Georgia version of them. Isn't Seven Dust from Orlando?
They're from Florida.
They're from Florida.
That's why I got into them, because they were... I think I saw them when I was a kid with Snot, I believe.
No, you didn't see Snot. You saw Snot? No, you didn't.
Pretty sure I did.
No, you didn't. Don't tell me that now. All these years I know you, I'm just finding out now that you actually saw Snot live.
Maybe.
Too young to appreciate it.
What? Definitely too young to appreciate it.
Lost on you. Lost on you.
Definitely too young to appreciate it.
That's like when I saw the Masters of Universe He-Man on Broadway thing. Yeah. Just too young to appreciate it.
Exactly. So, yeah, Seven Dust, it's off their self-titled album. Yeah, it's song Black. It's the first song. It's Seven Dust, man.
It's not bad. I wouldn't say this is bad.
It's not necessarily good.
It definitely
sounds very generic. In this day and age.
It sounds like generic 90s. Like if someone put out something like this now.
Yeah.
Like, you guys trying to sound 90s?
Yes.
Because you're doing it.
Real good.
The singing.
That's when I got.
It's very verse chorus.
That's when I got into metal, though. I got into metal in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
And these guys. I saw them.
A couple songs got on
the
radio.
I saw them somewhere, and then I heard a couple songs on the radio, mm-hmm, and then mm-hmm, I was at the local CD store. And somehow I got, like, their promotional copy of the album.
Oh, there you go. That's how
it was free.
That's how I got, I think I might even still have it somewhere. A CD with a, it's not a full album. There's a few of Disturbed songs on there from that first album. I'm just like, because I got it from, I won it from a CD, radio station.
Yeah.
I called in, like, you won the prize. And they sent it to me, and it was Disturbed.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's it.
Actually, I think this song also might have been on that. Man, there was when Life is Peachy, not Life is Peachy, when Power of the Leader came out, it came with a sampler CD.
Yeah,
there was a lot of really good music on there.
And there might have been on there the Seven Dust.
The Seven Dust song was a song, an Incubus song was on there. That's how I found out about Incubus. I think it was New Skin from Science was on there.
It's a good one.
A couple other weird people, weird things. Power Man 5000 song on there. Static X.
Static X.
All that weird stuff. I think there was an orgy song on there.
You mean there was some Yanni?
No. You know the band Orgy?
They had this song. No, I thought it was something.
They covered Blue Monday.
Like an orgy song.
No.
Like a...
God, it was so awful.
This is what some people listen to at Eyes Wide Shut parties.
Some of the 90s stuff was really bad, Chris.
Oh, yeah, it was. Well, every decade has its garbage. Mm. You know?
Why does the 90s stuff just stand out in my mind so much?
Because you grew up with it.
That's probably why.
It helped inform who you are for better
or
and for
worse.
And for worse. Yeah. For both. For both of... Let's see. So I'm going to jump then out of the 90s, personally. I know with you, it looks like we're doing all 90s.
For the most part.
Yeah, for the most part there. I don't know. I'll just pick. Nope. Wait. You know what? That was one we just listened to. Of all the ones to... I said earlier I was going to do a Between the Buried and Me song, so let's just get out of the way. Did you notice how it starts right in the middle?
Yep. It's Between the Buried and Me song.
It's the beginning of the track. Ants of the Sky off their album Colors.
Well, that's why it's all colors.
So, and it's the
colors is like one just giant song.
It's one song split into eight tracks. It's one 40 something minute long song split into eight tracks, and a couple of the tracks do have segues that can be considered ins and outs to be their own songs, like chapters of a book, right?
No.
But then there are a couple songs that when they end, it's like it's a chapter that ends with a cliffhanger, and you got to read the next chapter right away to find out what's going on. They just segue right into each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the best way I can describe. So this one just starts right in the middle, and I figured it's in the middle of the album. Because then how am I going to pick which color song to, you know, I mean, come on. And then do I do this one or the live one? Because the live album
is so amazing.
It's amazing. It sounds so great.
And
we saw them do Colors live.
That was
It was one of the greatest experiences of my life.
It's one of those things, man.
It's one of those things. It was one of those things we were hoping would happen, and then it did.
Yeah.
And then we were just like, yes.
Well, it took me a second because they played the first song, and I was like,
it's like, all right.
No, I was like,
okay,
right.
open with the new song. That's fine. Yeah. That makes sense. Doesn't mean anything.
And they followed it by the second song.
Like, okay, well, they kind of flow together, so it's kind of hard to stop
and
there.
By the third song, I had a fucking mindgasm, and I was like, they're fucking doing it.
They're playing.
Oh, my God.
They're doing it. Between the Buried and Me is like Between the Buried and Me is like the P.T. Anderson of prog metal.
Yeah, kind of.
Or is P.T. Anderson the Between the Buried and Me of
movies?
Of movies.
Interesting.
I'm sure Billy D will have something to say about that
I'm
one.
I'm sure he would.
Ants of the Sky, Colors, Between the Buried and Me. I mean, come on, it's good stuff, guys.
It's metal. Very good metal.
It's very good metal. If you like metal, if you like music, just get on it. Just get on it. All right. Juicer. It's almost like Pick the Poison. What do you...
Mm-hmm.
All right, well then how about this one? The Guitar Hero players remember this one.
Guitar Hero players will know this song. This is White Zombie, a Thunderkiss 65, off of their debut album that came out. Man, when did that album come out? Hang on.
1992.
Correct. 1992. It's the third track.
El Sexor?
El Sexorcisto, Devil Music, Volume 1.
El Sexorcisto.
I bought this because I saw the cover and I was like, what the F is this?
A crazy Rob Zombie artwork. That dude was buying it all, man.
Yeah.
What a genius.
I know.
I was super into White Zombie in the 90s.
The first two albums.
Yeah. Well, I was way more into the second album. The more popular one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But even that, I tried going back and listening to the first ones. I got some good songs on there.
Thunderkiss 65, right here.
Thunderkiss is an anthem song, man. It's great. But that other one, that one that has more human than human on it, that's not even the best song on there.
No, it's not.
That's the worst song on there. Probably just because I heard it over and over. Yeah.
More human than human.
I remember seeing on the...
I really like the intro to that song, though.
Yeah. He does good intros. I remember seeing in the 90s on MTV, the special about the band, and they were talking to the guitarist of the band at the time, and he was like, this is the pizzeria that I used to deliver pizzas for, you know, before...
I joined the band.
Before I joined the band, I got mega popular and have all this money. There's this little pizzeria in Manhattan near the Village. And then sure enough, me and a buddy went out, we found it, and we got some pizza there. And they were like, we're eating pizza from the place where the guy, the guitarist, used to deliver pizza. He didn't even make it. He used to deliver this stuff, man, and now we're eating it, bro. That was kind of a stupid douchebag review.
Yeah, it is. But you know, White Zombie will bring up the super douchebaggery in some people.
I guess so, maybe.
It's that 90s metal thing, man.
Just getting some pizza. For douchebaggy things. That's not so bad.
I mean, this, of all the music that I picked, I think this probably holds up the most.
The stuff you picked? Yeah, maybe. We'll see. It's pretty straightforward.
It's White Zombie.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's not like, again, it's not like the Fear Factory where he's not trying to copy what's going on at the time.
Yeah, no.
He's doing his thing.
Rob Zombie's just doing his thing.
He's doing his thing.
Yeah.
I think more it's along more the fact that he just did his thing for so long that we got sick of it.
Yeah.
By the time he was doing his solo stuff, what's the one? The Super Dragula. Dragula!
It was so bad.
It was over it. it, you know?
Well, I was, like I said, I was actually over it after the second White Zombie album. I was like, I've had enough.
Well, after, did they do more than those two?
They did a remix album, the super swinging sexy sounds or whatever.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And then I think they put out a compilation of everything they've ever released or whatever.
And then it was just Rob Zombie for that point.
Yeah.
There was a dip, I think, in quality after.
Oh, of course. It's because he...
It was just him.
No one can tell him to shut the fuck up and do something else.
Do something he's different.
He's stuck in his own head.
That's true. That's true.
That's probably a pretty weird place.
My next three songs are all from my college days. Because I was listening to a lot of fun metal. I feel like that was the time when people were really starting to expand metal into different things.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's to the point where everything's been done, and it sounds like every band, they're all the same.
Yeah.
Every band sounds the same now. But for some reason, these stuck out. For some reason, I don't know why these made the final five, but they did.
They did.
This one, because I've listened to this entire album from start to finish multiple times over and over, even recently, and I still think it's an amazing album. Evergreen Terrace.
Yeah. Which album?
Their second album, Burned Alive by Time. Here we go. I'm just going to start with the song called Dear Live Journal, which that's kind of the time there.
Live Journal. Did you have a live journal, Chris?
Yes, I did.
I think everybody did.
Most people did. And then abandoned it for MySpace. I never went to MySpace. Went live journal to nothing to Facebook. Had a big gap there of nothing.
Big gap of nothing.
But Evergreen Terrace. I remember the first time listening to this album. And the first time I heard it, the first song going through the whole thing, it just felt immediately familiar to me. Like, and not in a way like, oh, this is derivative of other stuff or they're ripping other people off. There's just something about this album that immediately I liked it. And I was just like, this is what I should be listening to.
Mm-hmm.
I need to be listening to this. It was a weird sensation, weird feeling.
It happens sometimes.
Rarely, I think.
It's like the first time I heard the Mars Volta, I was like, yes, give me more now.
Yeah, first time, yeah. I got that with the first time I heard.
I was like, where did Led Zeppelin just rise from the grave and start speaking in half Spanish, half gibberish? What the fuck is going on here?
Get into that Spanglish.
Man.
Yeah, Evergreen Terrace. And then, of course, they're named after the street that the Simpsons live on.
Exactly.
That's
a plus.
Another shortcut to my heart there. Simpsons reference.
I like their covers album.
Their covers album is fun. Writer's Block.
Yeah.
This one has a cover at the end, like as a secret track of Enjoy the Silence?
Nice. No.
Is it Enjoy the Silence? Yes.
Yes.
So, yeah, Evergreen Terrace, guys.
Evergreen Terrace.
Burned Alive by Time.
Yes.
The album before that.
I feel like I've been burned alive by time.
I think we all have.
I think I'm actually being burned alive by time as we speak.
We are slowly being burned alive by time. Mm-hmm. As far as time goes.
Yeah.
I was trying to talk to Kevin last night. While Kevin was doing his show, you probably hear it on episode 124, I'm off mic and trying to explain to him Interstellar, like how can we time travel forward? I was like, you can't time travel backwards. You can time travel forward. He's like, what? How? I was like, you know, you go into outer space.
Relativity.
Yeah. I was like, you know, theory of relativity. Exactly. I said, relativity. But I was...
The theory of relativity? Have you ever heard of it? Because that's time travel, motherfucker.
Time travel, motherfucker.
I go into the future. You die. This is Slipknot off the album Slipknot, 1999. The track's called Surfacing.
99? Really?
99.
I would have pegged it 97, 98. 99.
Nope. 99.
Interesting.
This was like the first time I'd ever heard first time I'd ever seen a huge ensemble thing. Like jam band ensemble, but with metal.
Nine people on the album cover.
Yeah.
Nine person band. We got singer, three guitarists,
yep,
bassist, DJ.
And two drummers?
Normal drummer, two stand-up drummers. That's nine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he had the two guys on the side with their own stand-up drum kits doing the extra... Which is genius.
It kind of is.
I love the extra drums. Any band that throws an extra drummer in there, I'm like, all you gotta do is add horns and I'm in. I don't care what the style of music is. Just do it.
How about a DJ instead? I have a DJ.
That's very 90s.
It is.
Very
90s. It is.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Not necessary.
Yeah. But it's Slipknot. I mean, this first album... It's fucking metal.
This
dude.
Album's fucking furious. It is.
I know.
That's why it stood out at the time. Yeah. Not only just the mask narrative. If they came out with, like, the normal looking,
yeah.
The music itself, I think, would have still got them attention.
The entire album, it's really fucking angry.
Yeah, it's in your face, which is cool. Then the album after that, Iowa.
Bad.
They just went death metal.
Yeah.
It was just straight up death metal. Yeah. It's like, you know what, guys? There's 100,000 death metal bands out there. You were doing something different before.
Yeah.
You know.
And still to this day, this, I like it personally, this first album. The drumming's awesome. I get sick of the DJ.
Yeah, the DJ's killing it. I hate it. He's killing it for me, but everything else, I don't know.
Everything else is very metal.
I'm going to want to go back and re-listen to this album now.
Yeah.
I haven't thought about it in a while.
There's lots of fucks. He says fuck a lot.
Outside of the DJ, next guy in this band that can go, the singer.
Of course.
He's the next one that can go.
The drummer stays.
If they were an instrumental band with no singer, no DJ.
Like Pelican?
One of the best bands ever, probably.
It's good music. And that's why I listen. I mean, I can...
I feel it's pretty 90s.
Listen to the drummer. He goes crazy.
Yeah, the drummers are going off. I almost...
It's like a mini cowbell solo in there somewhere.
I almost included... almost made the cut. Living Sacrifice.
Oh, really?
They almost made the cut because I love their first two albums. And even their subsequent albums are still not bad.
Yeah.
It's not bad. And they added a secondary drummer for their second album.
Oh, nice.
And then when I saw them touring for that album, and it was like they had their normal drummer dude, and then a guy on the side with like this big stand-up like 6-piece kit, and they were just like jump crazy. A lot of fun. And I have a feeling that was because of the popularity of Slipknot. So,
well, I mean, you know, that's what it was.
It was a good gimmick, good stuff. Those guys are smart. Most of them are probably fucking rich.
Well, I mean, what? Who's the lead singer?
That Corey guy.
Yeah, I mean, that motherfucker went off to do like
that Stone Sour,
stupid nonsense that was on the radio.
Yeah, he was all over the radio for the naughties, they called him.
Is that what they call
them? Yeah, because the double aughts.
Okay.
The oddies. I thought they even called it. Anyway. I'm going with some. Late 90s, early 2000s, Orange County, California.
OC
hardcore metal. Straight edge, actually.
I never understood the straight edge scene.
The straight edge scene is very simple to understand, Drew. It's all about no drugs, no drinking, no promiscuity, right? Just living the nice, clean path. And then you're all, because you're not fucking, and you're just confronting reality in the face with no help whatsoever from substances, you get so fucking angry that all you gotta do is mosh it up. And if you're not moshing it up, you're creating the music that makes other people want to mosh it up.
Okay.
That's why when you watch videos for like old throwdown concerts, they have mosh pits that are literally like, it's just a mountain of people.
And they all have X's on their hands,
and they're all fucking ramped up and going crazy. Yeah. And it's because those motherfuckers...
Fucking sobriety.
They need to smoke a J.
Sobriety, man. Sobriety's a bitch.
And you know, like kiss a girl or something.
Seriously.
But I'm fine.
Or do both.
I'm fine with that movement, because the game is still my favorite music. Like this here. It's got a little intro. Makes me laugh.
Intros are fun.
What in God's name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
This is Throwdown. Love Throwdown. Very simple, aggressive. Instead of building up to the breakdowns, it's just all breakdowns. It's just all just crushing music. This song's called Raise Your Fist. And the chorus is, raise your fist in the air, drug free. And everyone's going, drug free. Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. That's why they're so pissed.
Get these kids some drugs, please.
But not cocaine.
No.
Not cocaine. That'll just exacerbate the situation.
Yes, it will.
Oh, here you go, see? Drug free.
Drug free, man.
Fist in the air.
Free drugs.
This is off a 5-song EP. Called Drive Me Dead. which has two great songs. This one and another song. Great songs. And the other ones are okay.
Yeah.
On the Spotify, this almost pleases me. They put out, after this, they put out a tour-only CD. I forgot the name of it, but I got it, though, because I saw them on tour and I bought it. Because it was tour only, right?
Yeah.
And then Spotify came out. I was like, oh, shit. Is that tour only thing on Spotify? That pissed me off, man. Because that's supposed to be tour only. It's on Spotify. Everyone's got it. It's not on there. Not on there.
Good.
So that's good. But you know what's not on here, though?
What?
Their next full-length album after this, Haymaker, which is their best album by far.
Not on the Spotify?
Not on the Spotify.
It happened.
That's lame. They have everything else. Yeah. They have all the stuff after that, which just gets progressively more generic. It's weird. They just got more generic over time. They got into a groove
and stuck with it. Like, yeah. Kind of like Pennywise.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. For some reason, it doesn't bother me with Pennywise. It's like, oh, there's a new Pennywise album. I bet you it sounds like the old one.
Yeah, for certain bands, if you like the style, you like what they're doing, then yeah, that's cool that they keep cranking out the same shit over and over and over. But I like what Throwdown's be. In the beginning, they're way more fun.
Yeah.
And then they just. So they just got too metal for their own good.
It happens.
Yeah, it does happen. It does happen. So, yeah, if you want a Triple X Throwdown, check them out on the Spotify. We also got that Baby Got Back cover. They do have on the Spotify the Too Legit for the Pit.
Oh, sweet.
So people can check that one out. It's a little bonus. Bonus tip there. Crespo Disco style. So are we down to the last one already?
Dragon Force. Why? You ask Chris?
Why, Drew? Dragon Force?
Because Dragon Force. Listen, this is why. It's fucking Dragon Force!
Yeah. It's super metal. For the most part, I could do without the singing.
Oh, yeah, totally. I could do
especially
without the singing.
Every time he starts singing, I'm like, ugh.
But I think that's why I like it. After a while, it grows on you.
For most songs, he wins you over.
He does.
Like, some of the choruses, and he's so triumphant with
it. He is, dude. He's eternally triumphant.
Yeah. So it's, when every song starts, he goes, "What the hell do?" Yeah. Oh, no, here we go again. But then by the chorus, he's like, "What the hell do?"
I mean, yeah, with album titles like Inhuman Rampage.
Oh, fun, yeah.
Ultra Beatdown, Twilight Dementia,
song's called
Maximum Overload.
Storming the Burning Fields.
I yes!
Mean, come on, it's ridiculous.
What I'm saying, fucking Dragon Force.
My favorite parts of all their songs are always the little guitar bits after the first chorus.
Yes.
So here we go, we got one coming up. I'm sure it's sick.
Of course.
They're always so sick. The little bridges between the chorus and the next verse.
And then is it the white guy or the Asian guy? Which one is shredding?
It doesn't matter. Every time.
Yep. They got a style, they stick with it. It's fucking metal.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And this is the one with
Through the Fire and the Flames.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's so weirdly popular.
So good.
Strange how popular it got. Zumi and Johnny the Hater, right?
Yeah.
You saw him at House of Blues?
Yes. And I went out and smoked a cigarette when he put on the cowboy hat. Because it was the ballad time.
They have
one ballad on every album. That's their thing.
And they did it.
I let them do it. Yeah. But I do not listen. Yeah. Those ballads. Oh, they're so, man. I mean,
they're so ballady.
Their ballads are just as ballad as they are metal. So. Yeah.
So there's one song to skip per album.
Exactly.
Unless your lady's in the car, in which case she may want to hear the. Because the ladies like the ballad.
I'm sure they do.
Remember, they were all.
Were they?
They were all like, woo.
I don't remember. I smoked a cigarette. I don't remember.
Ballad.
I went out for 8 minutes. Did not listen.
Yeah. Good call. Good call on that one. One of my favorite bands from college is one that started super metal, and then they had their own. They were also straight edge too, but that wasn't really the focal point. Some of their lyrics are about being straight edge, but others, some of their songs are also just about like being super rock and roll, and some other ones were like kind of emo lyrics, but when you scream emo lyrics, but not screamo, but like really like metal, get into it, you know what I'm saying? This is a band called 18 Visions, 18V. After 2003, 2004. They just, it wasn't good. Stopped being good.
It happens.
But their first album, Until the Ink Runs Out, Super Metal, Super Awesome, has songs like Wine 'em, Dine 'em, 69 'em, mm-hmm. and Who Killed John Lennon.
I don't know who was it.
Sure as hell. What is it? Who Killed John Lennon? I forgot. He doesn't say who it was, but at the end he says it sure as hell wasn't. And then it's one guy. Was it Jesus? No, I can't remember. Anyway, this song.
I don't know. I think Jesus might have killed John Lennon.
It's possible.
I mean, if he was around, I'd be like, you know what, John? Seriously, fuck you.
It's possible. This song is off of, technically it's off their Best Of, which I just tell people go straight to the Best Of, man. Because why not?
Why not? There's a reason why it's the Best Of.
There is a reason. This one is the third track. It's called The Psychotic Thought. And it's a psychotic thought that Satan gave us.
Sweet.
Hail
Satan.
Is the lyric. If you can make out what he's saying. That's how you'll kick!
Yeah, I can. Let's go
for But you gotta try to picture kind of tall, lanky guy.
You're kind of like me?
A little taller. Slightly thicker. Very styled hair. Always with styled hair. Usually colored. Doing a lot of motorcycle, fake motorcycle driving. And like, doing that thing a lot.
Weird.
Yeah, with his one foot up on the speakers doing this. Like, revving a motorcycle yep. With his wrist.
That's kind of strange.
Yeah. When he wasn't doing this, he was a hairdresser. Might still be a hairdresser.
Probably still is.
Probably still is a hairdresser. He's that kind of California guy.
Yeah.
18 visions. 18 visions. Not the type of band that does verse, chorus.
No.
They're more like, here's a block of music.
Listen, or don't.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. And then their next album, Vanity, is pretty good, but has a couple songs on there that he can tell they're trying to make it a little more mainstreamish. Mm-hmm. You know, they're trying to simplify it a little bit. And then the album after that, there's only one good song on there. I mean, it took a nosedive.
Wow.
It's like, oh, actually, no. The intro song's pretty good. It's like a 2-minute thing, and then there's one song. The rest of it just sucks. It sounds like, please put us on the radio.
Do you think it put on the radio?
Fuck no. Down before that, had one video that got a little bit of play on MTV.
Okay.
But that was towards when, like, MTV was really not, like, really not playing music anymore at that time.
Yeah.
This was, like, 2003.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow, has it really been 10 years since MTV stopped playing music?
Minimum. At the least.
That's sad.
Right? Well, this part's pretty good. I guess that's kind of like a chorus. It's like a chorus bridge.
Almost. Maybe.
I want to find out who killed John Lennon. I got to find out. Wait, no. No, it's not who killed John Lennon. You know who it is? It was this song I was thinking of. The song is called That Ain't Elvis Playing the Piano.
Who is it then?
Well, sure as hell ain't Elvis. That's the thing we don't know.
But he's going to make television history for you. We'd like you to meet him now.
That's Elvis.
Elvis Presley, and here he is.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, well, there's that. Someone shot him in the head. And then, is it who killed the piano player? There's a story there about a piano player being shot in the head. So about it not being Elvis.
I can't hear anything he's saying.
That he's saying? No, it takes a while. You gotta listen to it over and over. He says, I want to make sweet love to his fucking music. You didn't hear that part? I'll play it back. He says, the piano player is dead. Someone shot him in the head. I want to make sweet love to his fucking music. All right. Here we go. Now that you know what he's saying.
Here he
is. Let's give it another try. I'm sure people love this at home. Piano player's dead. Someone shot him in the head.
I guess I did hear it that time around.
Did you? Yeah. Once you know. And then he says it again just to make sure. He wants to make Sweet Love this fucking music.
Yeah. Nice.
And then here at the end is where he's asking the question. Somewhere around here. Wait, here it is. A lot of screaming. Metal? Is that what you said, metal?
Yeah, I said it's metal.
Oh, who's behind the piano if the piano player's dead? Well, it sure as the hell ain't Elvis. That's what I was trying to get to. Started with another song, Who Killed John Lennon, trying to figure out who the hell's behind the piano if the piano player's dead. It sure as the hell ain't Elvis.
Sure as hell.
Got another song called Revolutionizing the Sound of Music, and the lyrics are like, this is how we rock. Yeah. This is how we rock.
And that's supposed to be revolutionizing the sound of music.
Well, I mean, when it sounds like this. And this is 90... 2000. This is how we rock.
Yeah! Very strange, my friend.
Yeah, it's crazy. They're crazy. And then look how they used to do their band logo. You see that? How metal does that look?
That's pretty metal.
And then when you look at their later albums, they simplify, you know, try to make it more legible.
Yeah.
After a while.
That's what makes it not metal.
We have less concern with being metal.
Metal.
Anyway, delayed the end of that long enough. Brings us to the end of the show. Thank you guys for listening. Tell us what your favorite metal songs are. We'll be back with another one of these, I'm sure. Because
eventually, yeah.
Because Drew only gave us the 90s stuff. I want to find out what he's been listening to since then, man. We got to find out. Plus, maybe I'll give you my 90s stuff. We'll reverse it. We'll do a switcheroo. Crisscross. Anyway.
Crisscross.
What are you listening to now, Drew?
It's Kavinsky. Mm-hmm.
That French guy.
First heard of him off the Drive soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he's still putting out music. This is him and The Weeknd. I don't know who the fuck they are. They're probably popular.
They're The Weeknd.
I don't know who they are. Yeah. But the song's called Odd Look. It's off the Odd Look EP.
Odd Look.
Odd Look. ODD.
ODD.
LOOK.
Right on.
Two Ds, three Os, an L and a K.
There you go. That is a lot of Os when you look at it that way.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Os to, you know, letter ratio there.
Yes.
High O letter.
The only vowel, actually.
And the only vowel. Anyway. Are we good to go? Are you still recording, computer? Hold on a second. Let's see if this computer's still recording. Yeah, we're good. Okay, well, here we go. This is one song. I've been listening to this band called The Air I Breathe.
Okay.
This one album, which I forgot to write down the name of it, but the name of the song is Deliverance. So here you go, guys. I'll play Odd Look, then Deliverance. And then the show's over. Wasted opportunity. They should have done that. They never did that. What a bummer.
Why not? Deliverance,
We're going to have to write them.
Squeal like a piggy, Chris.
I'm going to send them a tweet. All right, guys. So we are out of here. Thanks for downloading. For listening. We appreciate it. ChrisCrespo.com. Check out Drew, Antihero419 on the interwebs. And, yeah.
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 Yeah. Mm-hmm. Your hesitation speaks to me louder than million words a minute. I was born to this life you're living in this game. Okay. So nothing will let me ever be. I'm time.